this morning. Thanks for sharing that. I do not know who wrote it. I heard the song for the first time just a couple of weeks ago when I came in on a Wednesday evening, and our six-member group was practicing, and they were celebrating it, and I thought for the first time, I said, that's a doggone good sermon right there. And this morning, I'm looking at my sermon, I'm thinking, once again, that's a doggone good sermon they just preached for y'all. So I am glad that y'all like this song. The bar has been set high for me this morning. But I am glad that y'all are here today. I want to invite y'all a couple of places in the Gospel of Matthew, a little bit further than what was referenced in the song, but Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37. I read from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. You'll recognize it as the NRSV. That's the way it's often abbreviated. So that's what I'll be sharing with you this morning. But this is Jesus who is speaking. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, I am grateful this morning that you have called us together into this church. And grateful, O Lord, for our hearts who are here and who have assembled. I'm grateful for our minds as well as our souls that are here. And pray and ask, Lord, that in the words that have been spoken, that these may become living words that nourish our entire lives. And I'm grateful, O Lord, for the words that you have given to me. I pray and ask that they will be words that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, one thing that I want to share this morning as we've assembled around these words from Matthew chapter 22 as well as just this wonderful song that we just gathered around. One thing that I think, you know, we shouldn't have to say this, but I think it's vitally important for us to say it. Now, one thing that we all have to come and together around is that no one is beyond God's grace and redemption. I think that should be abundantly clear from everything that we have done this morning, from everything that we've sang, from the way that we have greeted each other. But I think it's one thing to say and to remind ourselves that nobody is beyond God's grace and beyond God's redemption. And when we take this idea, This idea about what it is, this idea that can be a concept, it can live in our heads. But when we take this idea beyond an idea that lives in our heads and begin living like this, begin living and shaping our lives in a way that says nobody in this world is beyond God's grace and redemption, and we begin to live like this is the way the world has been made. This is a reality that exists in this world. I think if we begin to live that, and don't just think about it, then we will see how God's love, we will see how God's grace are changing our world. And well beyond our own church, well beyond our families, well beyond our friends, when we take it from an idea that's in our heads, that no one is beyond God's grace and God's redemption, that's when our neighborhoods, that's when our communities, that's when our schools, that's when our businesses, that's when they really start to change. And I think that's the kind of eagerness that we see and our children, when they come down and they start smiling because they realize that God is much bigger than they are. And I think that it's easy for us to kind of get used to the idea of God, get used to the concept of God, get used to the idea of grace and redemption, and begin at times to not really express them in our own lives. And I got to tell you, you know, this is not something that I'm only preaching. This is something that I've experienced in my own life. I'm not sure how many of you, when you come into a church, I'm not sure how many of you look around and you start to look and you see the pews that are there. I don't know how many of you think that back pew is the one for you. Because that's the way I was at a time in my life. I thought that back pew is going to be the one that is for me. That's the one that I'm going to gather around. And I had a couple of friends. I had a couple of buddies that were on that back pew with me. Their names were Tim and Tommy. And I've told you this already. I've told you that I grew up in Tarrant City. I grew up in a Nazarene church. And Tim and Tommy were the grandsons of my pastor that I had. His name was Brother Jack Smith. Also, and I was completely surprised this morning when I walked into this space, but also here this morning at Grace Point, there's somebody else that was part of that congregation, that was in that congregation. Danny Horsley. Danny is sitting right there over to my left. But Danny actually owned a flower shop that was in Fairfield at the time and came to me, his part of that church, and said, "Hey, you ever thought about delivering flowers?" And he gave me my first job, in fact, and Danny found his way here at Grace Point this morning. So what I'm sharing with you this morning, he can tell you whether it's true or whether if I'm doing that preacher fabricating thing in here this morning. But I am glad that you're here, Danny. Glad that you're here. But I was sitting on that back pew, found myself on that back pew with him and Tommy. And there was music. This was not on a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday evening. And so there was music that was playing. My preacher was up, and my preacher was, you know, that's what happened, is that there would be preaching that would happen on Sunday morning from a pulpit like this. But you know, then on Sunday evenings, there's not as many people that were there on Sunday morning, so it's a little bit less. But the music, well, the music could be up and down. Sometimes it was better on Sunday night, sometimes it was better on Sunday morning. But that was a night that it was better on Sunday night than it even was on Sunday morning. And my preacher was not preaching, but my preacher was teaching. And I was sitting between Tim and Tommy. I was on that back pew, and I felt something that I'd not felt before. I felt something that was happening in me that I'd never felt before. And that moment of feeling the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Now, that's the way I described it. I thought a lot about that experience and thought, what does that really feel like? But that's the way I described it in that moment, that it felt like I was there. And I had no idea. I had no idea in my church that was filled with people who loved me, that was filled with people that supported me. I had no idea what to do in that moment. So what do you do? So what do you do in a moment when it feels like something's going on? And it was. It was happening in my heart. It was happening in my mind. It was happening in my soul. So what do you do? Well, you know, I turned to my buddy and said, "Hey, something's happening to me." Tommy was the one that I turned to. And I said, "Tommy," I said, "something's happening to me. I said, I don't know what it is. I said, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I'm scared, I'm sweating. It feels like the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. I don't know what to do." And Tommy said, "Well, I don't know what you should do either, but I'd go down to that altar and I would pray." Now, I picked the back pew for a very specific reason, because it's a long ways from everything that is happening in the front. It is a long distance from everything that is going on here. It's a long place from the singing. It's a long place from the preaching, and well, the teaching that is happening on Sunday night. And it's also a long way from other people that on Sunday night, because do you remember this? On Sunday night, people would come to the altar. You would see people at the altar on Sunday night that you would never see on Sunday morning. They'd come down and they'd pray. You would see people crying on Sunday night that you would never see on Sunday morning. And so I wanted to stay on that back pew. But I also didn't know what was happening at that moment and didn't know what was going on, well, on the back of my neck. And so I did. I came down to that pew and I prayed. And it was there that I began to struggle with this idea, because what I had done until that place of growing up and being in church, the whole experience that I'd had in church, is that I recognized that church is a place that nourished, and it was a place that nourished and gave life to my soul. And I thought that there were things that were in church that were surrounded by the soul. But then when it came to my heart, and then when it came to my mind, I thought, well, that's outside of church. That's something that happens outside of church. But on that Sunday night, when I came down and I prayed at the altar, and all those people that were in that church that loved me and that cared about me, and when they all came down and they prayed with me at that altar, I began this exploration of asking, okay, if church is not just feeding and nourishing my soul, if church is also here for my heart and here for my mind, well, there's a lot of things that I think about outside of church. There's a lot of things that my heart that my heart is led to outside of church. But when I came to that moment, when I came to that moment and realized that God was here for all of me, not just my soul, but every single bit of me. You see, all this separating that we do sometimes with our hearts and our minds and our souls, this is not really what God has given us. In fact, if you go into the Hebrew Scriptures and if you look at the beginning of Genesis, if you look at the way that God has created us, all this separating with our hearts, our minds, and our souls, God really never signed up for this. And Jesus embraces how God has created us all as human beings, that we are people like our children are reminded. We have heads, we have hearts, we have minds, we have souls, we have bodies. Just as no person in this world is beyond God's grace and redemption, no part of us is beyond God's grace and redemption. And that's what I discovered on that Sunday night at Tarrant Church of the Nazarene, sitting between two neighbors. Two neighbors being, well, good friends of mine, Tim and Tommy. But what about this? What about our neighbors that Jesus is connecting in this section of Scripture in Matthew? What about our neighbors that are there? We are called to love the Lord our God with everything. Heart, soul, body, mind. But then what about this and our neighbors as ourselves? I mean, is it religion? Something that's a private matter between you and God? You know, I tried to make it a private matter between me and God on that Sunday night. I did turn to Tommy, but I wanted it to be between me and Tommy and God. I didn't want it to become something that happened before the whole church. I wanted it to stay back there. You know, how many of you have ever heard of Lending Tree? You know Lending Tree, this group, they take creditors, and they take banks, and they take mortgages, and kind of put them together. Well, Lending Tree, let me make sure I get this day right. 2022, Lending Tree did a survey, and that's what they do. They're an agency that brings together creditors and lenders. But Lending Tree in 2022, they did this online marketplace, but you know, sometimes they are involved in houses and mortgages. So they did this. They did this survey and found out that 73% of Americans have disliked at least one of their neighbors at some time. Imagine that 73%, well, nearly 75% of Americans, they admit and say, they've told the surveyors, they said, yep, I don't like, there's at least one neighbor that at some point in my life, I've not liked them. And so what about our neighbors? What about our neighbors that are around us? What about our neighbors that we sit next to in the pews? What about the neighbors that move in and they move out? What about the neighbors that are all around us in our neighborhoods and our communities? Imagine that. Imagine that if we love God with all of our lives, that's our hearts, that's our souls, that's our minds, everything that God has created us in us. And then imagine if we take religion to not just be something that happens between us and God, but really begin to love our neighbors the way that God has loved us. Well, if this is any truth, if there has been some point in our lives when maybe we have disliked one of our neighbors, imagine how countercultural this idea could be. If we truly loved every single one of our neighbors as ourselves. And I will tell you that when I was sitting next to my two neighbors on that Sunday night, well, at least for one of them, it made a big difference. And I think that that's the kind of idea, this radical, as countercultural as it may seem, that this is an idea that can potentially change our world if we really do love our neighbors the way that God has loved us. Anybody remember this story? Anybody remember this story when Jesus finds himself in a crowded place? Now, Jesus is surrounded by all kinds of neighbors. There are all kinds of people that are pushing and shoving and moving around Jesus. And someone touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Someone just touches the hem of his garment. And then Jesus turns around and he asks his disciples. His disciples are there with him and says, "Who touched me?" Now, if you don't remember this story, this story comes out of Luke chapter 8. It's actually in Matthew 2, but in Luke chapter 8, 45 through 55, this is what I love about Luke when he captured this version of the story, is that Luke says, "Jesus, Jesus, wait a minute," his disciples say, "Jesus, Jesus, you don't understand. There are so many people. There are so many people that are all around you, Jesus. It's impossible. How do you know? We don't know who touched you. You remember that story? It's a beautiful story if you don't remember it. It's an extraordinarily powerful story. And it truly is this story about a neighbor reaching out. It's a woman who was suffering. She needed healing. And she was hurting in her life. And she had said that if I can just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, that my life can change, that I can be healed, that I can be whole. And Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who touched me? Because in that moment, Jesus says, I felt power. I felt power come from me. That's why I wanted to know. There's a really prominent psychologist. Her name is Barbara Fredrickson. She wrote this book a few years ago, Love 2.0. And the subtitle of it, and I love this, is How Our Supreme Emotion Affects Everything We Feel, Think, Do, and Become. And so what she did is as a psychologist, she took a look at love. And she explores this concept of love from a completely scientific perspective. She really challenges these kinds of notions of love as being romantic, based on long-term attachment. But what she does is she looks at it in these moments that are fleeting, these momentary, she actually talks about them, again in her book, Love 2.0, she talks about micro moments of fleeting, these micro moments of fleeting experiences that we have. It can happen between complete strangers. It can happen when you encounter somebody at the bank. It can happen when you encounter somebody standing in line, just these micro moments. And she says, what is it about this? What is actually happening? What is about this love? And she says that what happens, and it can happen in everyday interactions with strangers, it can happen with friends, happens among loved ones all the time. But she says there's this positive resonance that can take place. She actually is a psychologist that is able to determine, based on the work that she has done, and say that moment when Jesus says, I felt power come out, she says, here's the data that supports it. And she says, in fact, what that can do is it can create an upward spiral of positive emotions, promoting healthier relationships and personal flourishing, the exact thing that a woman who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus as he walked through this large crowd, the exact thing that happened in her life also, the exact thing that happened in my life when I was sitting with two of my neighbors at Tarrant Church of the Nazarene. You see, when Tommy turned to me and said, you know what, I don't know if it was me, Eddie, I would go down to that altar and I would pray. You see, what happens is that love radically changed my life and my world. That moment started me on a journey of loving God with my heart, my mind, in addition to my soul, which I was already trying my best to do. And my neighbors in those pews that night, they led me all the way to a place where I found myself in the pulpit in Tarrant Church of the Nazarene. Danny can tell you about the train wreck that those first few sermons were. But I found myself into that place. They were really brief, so you might appreciate that. They were my 13 pages turned out to about 4.5 minutes, those first few instances. But it not only led me to that pew and that pulpit, but it led me to the neighbors that I'm with this morning. The ones that are here virtually, watching online, as well as all of you who have loved me and supported me in just these few weeks that I'm here. But don't underestimate that when we love our neighbors the way that God has loved us, that is radically countercultural right now. When we are open, and in a micro moment, as Barbara Fredrickson reminds us, it can happen with complete strangers. That has the potential to change the world. And do not make the mistake that I did. Do not only give your soul to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that no matter where we find ourselves in this world or in this life, that none of us are beyond your grace. that none of us are beyond your redemption. And we do, Lord, we commit our lives right now to love you with everything that you have created in us. From our heads to our hearts to our souls. And Lord, give us, well, at times what at times needs to be the courage to love our neighbors as you have loved us. And at times to just pause briefly enough to offer that micro moment of love to our neighbors. Because Lord, truly, that's how your love, that's how your grace changes the world when we live as recipients of it. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.